Hey guys, this is Chase Everett. This is Talking Into Microphones, and got a pretty cool little episode today. We've got Albie Poole and Melody Poole on, which you will hear. We're going to kick it right off with Albie. We recorded them doing a couple of songs, and then we shot the shit for a little while. But this is kind of a long but hilarious song that Albie Poole put together probably 25 years ago. He's been doing in his live set, and anyway, stay tuned. Check this out. It's fucking funny.
That's it. Is that right?
Yeah.
Hello?
Oh, I'm on. Yeah, you're on, baby.
Two young men in a double bed. One rolled over to the other and said, please release me, let me go. For I don't love you anymore. Two young men in a double bed. One rolled over to the other and said, I like it, I like it. I like the way you run your fingers through my hair. And I like it almost every day. And I like it always hearing you say, you're liking it too. You're liking it too, young men in a double bed. One rolled over to the other and said, please help me, I'm falling in love with you. But close the door to temptation. Don't let me walk through. Now turn away from me, darling. I'm begging you to please help me, I'm falling in love with two young men in a double bed. One rolled over to the other and said, it'll only hurt for a little while. That's what they tell me. That's what they say. Two young men in a double bed. One rolled over to the other and said, send me the pillow that you scream on. Don't you know that I still care for you? Now send me the pillow that you scream on. So darling, I can scream on it. Two young men in a double bed. One rolled over to the other and said, love is a burning thing. And it makes a fiery ring burn by wild desire. And my ring's on fire. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 but the flames went up high. And it burns, 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 that ring of fire. My ring's on fire. Two young men in a double bed. One rolled over to the other and said, I can't get no satisfaction. I can't can't get no sex reaction. But I tried, and I tried, and I tried, and I tried. I can't get no satisfaction. Two young men in a double bed. One rolled over to the other and said, oh, James, James, hold your steady, James, James, hold your steady, James, James, hold your steady, I'm a coming into your two young men in a double bed. One rolled over to the other and said, I got the jack from a queen, from loneliness to a wedding ring. I played an ace and I won a queen. You made me king of your heart.
And there you have it. And that's where we'll start. That was the great Albie Poole.
Last one's my favorite.
From Australia. And put those mics up next to your mouth, kids. Uh-huh. Mouths. So we have Albie Poole and Melody Poole here on Talking Into Microphones, a father-daughter duo that has been separated by apparently good taste. I don't know.
Maybe. Yeah. Apparently good taste, yeah.
Yeah. So Melody, you started. Melody, some of you that listen to the podcast know, is an Australian artist that Dan and I have had the opportunity to work with in the past couple of years. We helped make her first record, The Hurting Scene, which we'll play a track off of here in a little bit. And Melody's going to play a new song for us live. I have no idea how good or bad it's going to sound just because of the technology we're using here, but it's a podcast, so what the fuck? So when did, Albie, you've been playing music for how long?
40 years. 40.
Wow. That's four years. 40, 40 years. Yes. So since I was two, you've been gigging.
Yeah, probably, yeah. No. In one form or another. I was originally a bass player and in another band, and then I moved on to guitar with formed my own band and went back onto bass. And when Melody joined me, when you were about nine or something, wasn't it?
I first sang with you when I was nine. Yeah. I started playing guitar when I was 14.
So
in the band.
We'd done the biggest festival, country festival in Australia, Tamworth, from the time Melody was about 14 or something. You were with me in the band, so I switched over onto bass and let Melody handle the acoustic guitar work. So, and then she went off on her own tangent a while back, which is, I'm very pleased with. People come up to me and say, are you... You're a bit disappointed Melody's not into country. I said, whatever's in her heart, she can do, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, because you're more like old school country and roadhouse type music. I mean, that's more the kind of stuff that you
perform. As country as horse shit.
Yeah, that is country.
It is country.
Horse apples.
My mom used to say, they're perfectly clean. She would always say that.
Well, as far as shit goes, I guess, yeah. It's untainted by non-shit material until it hits the ground, and then it's soiled by the dirt.
Yeah, it's soiled by the dirt.
Yeah, well, that gives you an idea of what the podcast is like, things like that. So obviously there's no rules. So Mel, you started playing with him when you were 14, playing guitar and singing and fronting the band, I guess?
Yeah, well, yeah, harmony singer and rhythm guitar player, I guess.
Which is what you were doing when we met you in 2012. You were singing with Kirsty Akers, mm-hmm. and singing harmony and playing guitar.
Yeah.
And look at you now. Now you have a big record deal and all that jazz.
Now I can do things myself.
Yeah. All by yourself.
All by myself.
Dad's carrying the gear around.
Well, there's worse gigs. That's my ambition, is to be Jacques Rody.
I'm waiting
to carry
the money around.
Yeah. Well, hopefully there will be some.
What money?
Yeah. Hopefully there will be some. So Melody and Albie have been in Nashville this past week doing Americana stuff. There's a huge Australian contention here every year for Americana, because Americana is really big in Australia. And so they've been doing some gigs and interviews and radio stuff and having a barbecue at my house and now being roped into this bullshit. So, Albie, I know you have opinions about the music business today, and as do, I think, Dan and Melody and myself, but you've been doing it longer than the rest of us. Yeah. So where do you see not just country music? I've heard you piss and moan about country music, but where do you see, I mean, looking at your daughter who's 23 years old and has a record deal with a real record company doing a real thing, about to make her second record, does it scare the shit out of you like it does me for my son who wants to do this?
Yeah, it did at the start. I think Melody will know when it's time to move it up or down a notch, whatever she wants to do. Right. I'm pleased with it. I'm aware of all the pitfalls of country music and other sorts of music, all the sharks that are around there. I tried it. Melody's pretty great at picking them up as well, so she can get a vibe off people, how they... whether they're full of shit or genuine sort of people that she needs to talk to. So, but she often comes to me and asks me opinions on things, and now I'm asking her opinion on some stuff, but I'm pretty vexed about country music. I just don't know where it's going, and that's been my heart and soul, you know. That's what I love, and I just don't get this bro country that's coming up now. That I just don't get it. It seems to have no soul.
Well, it's really, it's kind of like those horse apples, except it's dirty from the get-go. Except it's just absolutely shit, and there's no question of that. Yeah. But I think those things come in cycles, too. You know, I remember Chet Atkins took over Nashville in the mid-late 60s, everything turned into pop records.
Yeah.
And people forget that because the stuff that happened 40 years ago that we still listen to was the stuff that was good.
Yeah.
But there was a whole lot of terrible music that happened then, too. Will you hand me that telephone? For fuck's sake.
Hello? You should answer.
I don't know who that is or why they're calling, but where are you at with that? Because you did grow up playing country and even writing country and working with other country artists besides just your dad, but you've certainly moved away from that. Have you felt, has there been any reaction in like Australia where you're pretty known? Have people bagged you about not being more straight up country?
I don't think I've really been bagged, but I still get labelled as it, I think, which is why I don't get bagged. And I think, I don't know, in Australia, country music isn't country. I don't think a lot of it isn't.
So it's a lot more broad.
So people don't really know what's country and what's not. So if I'm in an article and someone says Melody Poole, country singer, people are just going to think I'm a country singer.
I get called that in Europe. People call me a country, which is hilarious.
Yeah, but I find it hilarious as well because I don't think that I write country songs, although they are horribly depressing, which is very country.
Yes. but a little more flowery and musically. I mean, you're more in line with the Joni Mitchell type, you know, folk and pop and that kind of thing. But it's very acoustic guitar and...
Yeah, which ties in with the open tunings and stuff like that as well.
And where did you pick up all the open tuning stuff? Because so many of your tunes, I mean, you have... How many tunings do you use in a set?
In a set? I've put it down to three now. Three
tunings. That's good.
But it was... The highest it's been is six in like a hour set, which has been like five guitars on stage.
Ugh.
And I just retune one of them.
That's brutal.
Yeah, it's quite annoying. But if I had a guitar tech, I wouldn't care. But I'm not that rich yet.
Come on, Albie. I think we've seen the future.
Get your tuning ear in.
I think we've seen the future. One of those horrible Gibson Les Pauls that tune themselves and weigh 400 pounds.
No, I got the open tunings just from... loving Joni Mitchell and watching YouTube videos of her and liking how her guitar sounded, and people comment saying, what's the tuning for this song? And other people comment back with the tuning, and I would just tune my guitar to it and watch where her fingers went. That's just how I learnt that.
I should look into that.
So easy.
Just learning how to play guitar. I mean, I should really look into that. So Albie, what are you going to do with yourself? You know, she's off doing her thing, about to move to Melbourne and all that jazz. I mean, you've invested a lot of time into this talent, and now she's, you know...
She's deserting us, yeah. It's something... It's inbred in me. I just love it anyway. I'd go and do it for nothing. So I just keep gigging away where I until I run out of relevance, I guess, and or I fall off stage and and they bury me next day.
That would be a good way to go, though, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be the way to go, really?
I don't want to waste away in some old people's home and that's so I'd be happy if I just cark it on stage.
That's my dream, too, is to just blow the fuck up on stage. Actually explode, not even have to be buried.
That would be amazing.
So everyone takes
just,
a piece.
Everybody takes a piece
die
with
like
me.
That
yeah,
too.
Just blow up.
Just explode.
Chunk. No, I want chunks of me all over the entire crowd.
There's a whole lot more of me
statement.
To blow up.
Exactly. Well,
you don't want to Obi-Wan Kenobi it and...
No, that would be, because then people are like, is he still alive? I mean, did it? No, I want them to know, wow, he really is dead.
But do you want to come back as sort of a bluish ghost type of thing?
Oh, a hologram?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, of course. I mean,
cool.
I'm not foolish.
All right, I was just saying.
Stupid question.
A lot of those in the future, I feel like.
Stupid questions?
Well, yeah.
Oh.
No, holograms. Bluish, greenish holograms of people.
Probably so. Mm. Tupac did a gig like that last year at Coachella.
Really?
Yeah, he's been dead for 22 years. He got up on stage with Snoop Dogg a giant hologram and played a new song.
Oh, nice.
Which I thought was impressive.
Yeah, that is impressive.
Technology is wonderful.
Yeah.
To be fair, he's probably had more stuff come out.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Than any
oh, yeah.
artist who's ever died.
Absolutely.
I mean, I think most of his
probably 70%. Probably 70% of his catalog.
He's been a lot more prolific since he
died. Yeah, well, it's a skill set.
It's amazing, isn't it?
So you're
living in Melbourne?
Uh huh.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, look her up.
Yeah.
Nice.
And
are you going next year?
What?
Are you going?
Yeah, let's go.
Yeah, sure. Come over.
Well, I may come over. Melody has a pretty cool opportunity. She is opening two shows for the Eagles. The fucking Eagles, man. I hate the fucking Eagles, man.
Get
out of
my car. Wait, the Australian Eagles? Or the-
no. Don Henley, Glenn Frey, and whoever else they've got to bring along with them. Yeah,
Joe Walsh.
Uh-huh. Joe Walsh. Well, actually, I think Bernie Ledon is going to be playing with them this year for the first time in... since the 70s. So yeah, Mel's putting together a band over there.
Mm-hmm.
And she's doing two shows with the Eagles. Are they opening or are you opening? I didn't see how it was billed.
Yeah, they're opening for me.
Right.
I'm the headline act.
Right.
Yeah.
Nice. Very nice.
I just thought I'd give them this opportunity, you know.
Well, you're gracious.
Very much. Yep. They're only doing two open air shows and they all the indoor shows they're not having supports. But
can I play guitar?
Sure.
She's already got a guy, but if you'll fly yourself over there and play for free, she will get rid of that guy. I guarantee you. That guy just got fired.
That's awesome. How did that happen?
Well, the head of Mushroom Group, which is my label and publisher, owns a touring company as well that brought them out. And usually, I don't know, I think that he usually has to send video profiles to them and, like, portfolios. And apparently Don Henley came back to him and said, do whatever you want. I don't care. Put whoever you want on there. So he just slapped me on the support.
You need to change that story a little bit.
I know.
Yeah, I thought you were going like, to say Don Henley came back and said, I saw this Melody Pool and
I'm not good at lying.
Well, you're going to fail in the music business now. You've got
to I've
be
already
good at
said
lying.
To Dan, I think I'm going to be a gardener.
A gardener?
Yeah.
Well,
I think plants will piss me off less than people.
It's probably true. You are extremely misanthropic for 23 years of age. That's true. Now, did she get that from you, Albie, or
not
from her
all.
Mother?
No, I'm very people-orientated.
The right child.
Grab my poison here.
All right. Grab your drink. So you've got a new record that you're about to do that I may or may not be involved with. That remains to be seen, but you're writing a bunch of new songs.
Yep.
Why don't you play one of those new songs
okay.
for us?
All right. This is called Black Dog.
Oh. Okay.
Now be quiet. She's going to play the song. I'll be Jesus. Here we go. Everybody be quiet.
Quiet.
All I can taste is cigarettes and the kiss you left upon my lips. And I have left a number of old regrets, from my silken white legs to my hips. People often say there's no time in a day, but there's way too much time for me. I'm empty and aching, my whole world is shaking, and the black dog has sat at my feet. Nobody sees what I do to me. Nobody sees when I'm crazed. The contempt that I hold for my own defeat, and the guilt I feel masked by my rage. You waltz in the room in your drunken perfume, and you touch every inch of my being, till the bitter sun rises and shows our disguises. You stretch while I'm left there bleeding, and you step away, 'cause you're part of the day, and I sleep 'cause I'm part of the night, and you say my chains will soon break away, and I'll join you one day in the light. You push me and pull me, you ride me, you thrill me, then turn every inch of me down. And I have nothing and no one, so what could I owe to one man who is craved by the crowd? Break myself, and I see my own mind and the poisoning of itself. Help is beyond me. Help won't come from someone else. You waltz in the room in your drunken perfume, and you touch every inch of my being, and you grab my hand, reassure me again that knowledge is so often freeing. And you say my chains will soon break away, and I'll join you one day in the light. But I'm empty and aching, my whole world is breaking, and the black dog is holding me tight. The black dog is holding.
So that's Black Dog by Melody Poole, one of her new songs. It was great. Yeah, we spliced that in. We recorded her singing that a little earlier, so that's why it's just awkward before and after the song. We apologize, but it was really good. Yeah. I actually got a little bit clamped. So that's another cheerful song from Melody Poole, the woman who just provides cheer to all the children.
Yeah, I was born with joy, just zooting out of me.
Seriously, if you Love really beautiful, really heartbroken music. You should check out Melody's first record, The Hurting Scene, which I'll end this episode with one of the more up-tempo numbers from that record, just so we end on a jump. But but it is a really great record. Brad Jones and Melody and I produced that record in 2012. Dan played on it. Derek Mixon played on it. Chris Spani played on it. Brad and I played on it. And Melody's one of those really rare talents who sits down in front of an SM7 microphone with a microphone pointed to her guitar or inside her guitar, and the rest of us grab something and hold on. And what you hear on her records is her playing and being in charge and leading musically, lyrically, and just in spirit. She's a phenomenal talent, and we're really lucky to get to work with her. She's a horrible bitch, sadly. Miserably unhappy, unkind person. But wow, the songs are lovely.
Yeah. A joy to work with.
You are a joy to work with, actually. That's the thing about Australians. It's like, no matter how beautiful and lovely and sweet and everything the music is, as soon as the song's over, it's just you're at a barbecue.
Yeah.
And people are cussing and swearing and saying things that are completely inappropriate. And it feels right at home. We like it a lot.
Yeah.
What else do you want to tell us? What else do you guys have going on?
Only a couple of days left here.
Yeah.
And then back. Back home, Melody's going on to Harry Potter World to get some inspiration. And New Orleans to...
Now, the juxtaposition of that, you're going to Harry Potter World because you grew up with the Harry Potter books and you're obsessed with J.K. Rowling and Harry Potter. So this is your second trip to Harry Potter World.
No, this will be my first.
Oh, it's your first. You wanted to go last time, but you couldn't.
Yeah, I've wanted to go the last 2 years and I haven't had time.
Well, now she's making the time to go to Harry Potter World. Yep. And then, just as an antidote to that, she's going to New Orleans.
And, well, they both have, like, so witchy and voodoo-y. And...
Yeah, but one of them is real.
Yeah, you can get killed and at one of those New places. Orleans.
And then there's New Orleans.
I was going to say, Harry Potter.
Harry Potter's real.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, be careful in New Orleans. I'm going to be worried about you the entire time
you're
there.
Should I get some pepper spray? Is that legal?
Yeah, it's legal.
Okay. You can
get a gun.
I was going to say, why don't you get a sawed-off shotgun? It's New Orleans.
Yeah, that's true.
Thermonuclear device with you.
In Louisiana, if you're white, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Really. But if you're black, don't go at all. Just don't go if you're black. But I'm serious. You think I'm kidding?
I'm fine.
No, you're almost blue.
Yeah.
You're like me. You come from the same.
I'm staying out of the sun from now on.
Yeah.
Yeah?
In case I get a bit darker. I'm not even going. What am I talking about?
I wish there was a visual for that. Well, I don't want to bore the listener with anything else that isn't important and isn't about you guys. So is there any piece of brilliance advice? Maybe you'd want to tell the story of Cinderella or something like that. Uh-huh. You said that the other night at the party, and I thought that was pretty great.
it's a bit of a... What do they call spoonerisms? It's when you change a few syllables around in a word and it becomes a different word. Like fish and chips become chish and fips.
Right.
And things like that. And this is a story about Cinderella and the Prince, but it becomes Prinderella and the Sins.
Okay.
And it goes like this. Once upon a wime, there was a giddy little pearl named Prinderella. Now, Prinderella had two sister ugglers and a micked webstuther. Who made her pine the shots and shans and flop the moors and all the other wordy dirk. Now, wasn't that a shirty dame? One day the ping issued a proclamation inviting all the gallagher earls to a drancy fess ball. Now, Prinderella didn't have a drancy fess. All she had was a rurty dag that fitted it. All of a sudden, who should appear but Prinderella's Gary Fodd mother? In the twinkle of an eye, she changed the heist into morses and a cumpkin into a poach and gave her a necklace of poobies and rolls and told her that she must be home by the moke of stridnight or her drancy fess will turn back into a rurty dag, and that would be a shirty dame. So Prinderella sanced all night with a dince, and at the moke of stridnight she ran down the stalus peps and slopped her dripper. The next day, the ping issued another proclamation inviting all the Gilligible Earls to slide on the tripper. Well, Printerella Sisti Ugla slide on the tripper, but it fit and did. So Printerella slide on the tripper, and it fit. So Printerella on the sense have lappily ever after. If you think I'm wixing my merds, you're red dyed. There is another one about Robin Hood, but I have a fair bit of trouble with Friar Tuck.
Oh. And I can think of no better way to end it, but we're going to end it a different way anyway. We're going to end it with one of Melody's songs off the Hurting Scene. Albie Poole, Melody Poole, thank you guys so much.
Thanks,
I love
guys.
You both.
Thank you.
Selfish, baby, I've been had. Baby, you've been fiendish. Baby, I've been sad. But honey, we're all just a little prone to that. I got my gloves from auction. You got your gloves brand new. I've had a few bad years now of being lost in blue. And you're running on steam. You're yet to. Someday, and the way you're going, you're bound to stay the same old empty shell you've always been. Lost your eye, living on the hurting scene. I went and told my mother, I went and told my friends, and I feel a little better when they bitch, but then I sleep alone. Understand that the man I came to love is actually somebody else.
The always beautiful, always wonderful Melody Poole. The Hurting Scene is that record. You guys check her out. She's at melodypoole.com.au for Australia. So check her out. She's on iTunes. You can get that record. On iTunes, you can order it from her, and hopefully we'll be getting a new record of hers in 2015. Go to DanCohenMusic.com, get a copy of Bluebird, his latest and greatest. Go to JaySevert.com, get a copy of Terra Rosa, my latest and greatest. We'll have Norway dates up by the time this podcast hits the air at JaySevert.com. Hook up with all of us on Facebook, on Twitter, all the usual bullshit. Big thanks to Albie and Melody for coming by. They're wonderful people, great musicians. You guys, thanks for tuning in, and there you go. Be safe. Cheers.
Good night.